Hi, this is Zoe Routh, episode 8, Thinking, Big Thinking for Competitive Edge. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So last week I spoke at the CPA Congress in Canberra. So CPA is Chartered Professional Accountants, and they had a 1,000-person conference. And I got called in at the last minute by my friend Pat Hollingworth, who is an extraordinary speaker and thought leader on leadership in volatile, uncertain times. And he was meant to do the presentation. And he called me up the night before saying, "I'll just cut to the chase. I've broken my arm. Can you fill in for me tomorrow?" Shock. I'm like, "How did you break your arm?" Pat is 6'5" and built like a massive mountaineer that he is. And when he falls over, it hurts. So he fell over, broke his arm, and sprained both his ankles. That day, he was in Adelaide speaking at the Congress there. And he went straight to the hospital, was in the hospital for 2 hours. And then he got back in a cab, went back to the Congress in Adelaide, delivered his keynote with a broken arm and 2 sprained ankles on just 2 Panadol. And so when he rang me up and said, "Can you do tomorrow? I'm a bit sore." I said, "Sure." And so off I went to speak at the Congress on Grace Under Fire. And one of the things I realized is that my accent really is still quite Canadian here. And no matter how hard I try, I can't quite get the pronunciation. And my husband, Rob, was trying to give me lessons this week on how to use the AR sound properly in Australian pronunciation. So we started with farce. That was the Canadian version. The Australian version is farce. Yeah, I just cannot get it. But I have to say it goes both ways because Australians just cannot say burger. Try it. It sounds hilarious. So big news today. The moment has arrived. In fact, my book, Moments, has arrived. Late Monday afternoon to my doorstep, the first shipment of books arrived. And it's so exciting. It's such a beautiful book. It's green, so it complements nicely the blue cover of my first book, Composure. And I'm just thrilled to get this out into the world now. It was quite a process writing the book, and I believe that when it gets into people's hands, it will really give them a handbook on how to deal with the toughest moments that we have in our world. So moments of truth when we're confronted with our darkest times, and the book goes into how we make use of that and get through those types of rock-bottom moments. Defining moments are all about how we need to challenge leadership sometimes and speak up and be brave, and what happens when people challenge our leadership. How do we get through that? How do we deal with those ethical moments that are so difficult? So the book outlines how to think about them and how to take action on them. And the third type of moments is in the heat of the moment, probably the most difficult, and the questions I get most when I present on Grace Under Fire is, how do you deal with that huge cacophony of emotions when the stakes are high and people are getting antsy? Well, the book goes into all of that. And right now, you can still get the pre-launch price of $1 shipping for the book until the end of November. So the link to that will be on the show notes at zoerouth.com/podcast/8, the number 8. I'd love for you to get a copy. I'm signing every single one, so it'll be personally autographed for you. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the book. The next piece of news is the ongoing development of this fantastic event that we're putting together for next year called the Edge of Leadership. It's a premier gathering of business leaders. And in Canberra, it's rare that you get a business-focused unconference. Well, it's rare that you get an unconference, for one, which means we've deconstructed the conference and given people plenty of opportunity to connect, make real connections, and actually process and digest what they're learning from the speakers and from each other. So it's a real hands-on, belly-to-belly connection event where you can walk away with practical strategies to apply to your business, as well as meaningful relationships. And the biggest part, I think, is developing a social agenda. So how you can integrate central contribution to the community as part of your business platform that works for your business and also does great things in the community. And there's amazing people doing incredible things for others through their business as part of their business. And I think we need to share those stories and get more of them out there. So it's going to be, it's the event for Game Changers. You don't have to be in Canberra. You can come and visit us, the nation's capital. And you can still get tickets at half price until the 30th of November. So that link will be also in the show notes, or you can go to my site and just look under work and there you'll find the conference or unconference listed there. So love to see you. It's going to be an intimate affair of just 100 tickets. That's it. So you can have intimate engagement with Australia's best speaker, keynote speaker of the year, Dr. Jason Fox, who is absolutely fabulous. You will love it. Okay, I hope to meet you there. So what I'm reading, I mentioned last podcast that on my Kindle was Make Every Man Want You by Marie Forleo, and I've started to dive into that. And I have to say, it's not as frivolous as the title would make you think. This is not about how to be a flirty, attractive social butterfly. This is actually a substantial book on how to be present and how to be deeply connected to yourself and that you show up as a powerful, authentic being. In which case, you are irresistible to yourself and to others. But it's not about being irresistible, really. It's about being centered and authentic. So hat tip to Marie Forleo. I can't believe it's taken me 8 long years since you published it to have a go at it. I look forward to finishing the book. I love your style. You are amazing. And I think this is a great text for any leader, male or female. And the other book that I've been rereading, which doesn't happen often, is by Keegan and Leahy, so Robert Keegan and Lisa Leahy, called An Everyone Culture. And this has come back to forefront in my mind because it's the book that we've been processing in my coaching book club. And it is really an understated book, and I think it is quite a revolutionary text in terms of how we think about organizational development. So as Peter Senge initiated 20 years ago the learning organization, this is the deliberately developmental organization. It's kind of the next iteration, next evolution of what we can be doing for people development in organizations that will transform the way that we experience work. It is that big, that important, and that exciting. So the link to the book will be in the show notes. And the central premise around it is that we don't have to do development as a separate thing outside of work. Every day, in every way, by everyone in the organization, people can be learning and growing and developing through their work, not as a sidetrack or an extra bit or something that is kind of like tick the box and the L&D requirements. This is how you transform the way that people engage and build community. And so every day, in every way, each person is contributing to their own development, development of others, and development of the organization. So there's a real bottom line outcome to this. Organizations that are doing this are extremely successful financially as well as in the other purpose-based elements to their business. So this is not about just being touchy-feely. There are some robust business outcomes to it. And the case studies in the book give some fantastic ideas of what we can do in businesses big and small, in private sector as well as public service, and how to transform our organizations and make them places where people feel they can grow. In fact, the research says one of the big reasons people grow is that, well, two reasons actually. One is they're not growing, and two, there's limited sense of purpose. So come to my unconference and get your sense of purpose through Social Agenda and read this book and pick up some tips on how you can learn how to grow through your business, through your organization. So what I'm pondering as a result of this reflection and learning is actually central assumption to the book. So, and I don't have any answer to it. I'm just pondering this question. Is growth good? Because the premise behind an everyone culture is that we need to grow. Growth is good. It's actually central to what we believe about our Western economies too. They always report on growth numbers and statistics in the economy, as in growth is always good. And I'm wondering, is it always good? What if we wanted to consolidate? What if we wanted to take it easy? What if we had a different definition about what growth means or different options around growth? And I think there's this compulsion that progress is the default of what we're all after. Well, maybe we are wired just for progress. And certainly Dr. Jason Fox would say so. Making progress visible is central to motivation. So is progress the same as growth? Maybe. So these are the things that are swirling around in my head. Love to hear your thoughts on it. And I think it's useful to always challenge our assumptions around such a big concept because new ways of being, new ways of thinking emerge as a result. So we'll let that percolate. And if you're in Melbourne next week, you should get yourself to Jason Fox's Percolate. It's an awesome event. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that as well. So there's heaps going on from a developmental perspective. You need to get your butt to something. Don't let next year just be the default same old, same old. Do something to challenge yourself and expand. And because growth might be good. And certainly challenging yourself to question your assumptions is definitely good. So that you don't take anything for granted and you really get clear about who you are, what you want, and what it is that you want to create and experience. Which leads me to the central challenge that most of my clients have. And this is the central challenge of how do they get their head above the parapet? We're so busy doing the delivery, the busyness of the doing work. As leaders, how do we actually press pause and carve out enough mental headspace to think about the really most important issues? And some of the important issues that they need to address, that we all need to address as business people, is central to the issues around cataclysmic, maybe that's too strong a word, central to volatile change, which is our default now, is how do we actually stay relevant in the next 5 years? Will our business still be needed in 5 years? Will my job still be relevant in 5 years? Will the skills I have now still be useful in the next 5 years? If you're not asking this question, you're already behind. So it's really important that this gets put at the top of the pondering list when we're trying to get our head above the parapet and think strategically about how we show up and deliver in the world. Second issue is, and this is nothing new, and yet people still grind away at this one. How do I stand out from my competitors? What's unique about what I do? It's very difficult to nail this, actually, because when we look around, we have this tendency to look around what other people are doing and compare ourselves to them. And the capacity to be fully authentic and innovative and unique is quite a developmental leap. And if we don't start digesting that, really thinking about who we are and how we want to be expressed in the world, either through business or through our professional life or even through our personal life, then we will be behind. We'll be flowing behind the rest of the pack. We'll just be followers. We won't be leaders. So this is not just about marketing competitive edge. It's about your own personal leading developmental edge. So that's an important question. The third one is, how do I get known as a result? And there is a financial commercial agenda in that. If we get known, we're more likely to be more attracted to our clients, etc. So you could be a professional seeking a new role, or you could be in business. And this has got to be a driving concern because of the proliferation of social media and media in general. It's very difficult to stand out with all the noise. So how do we do that? How do we show up so resonant and distilled that people just flock to us? And this is, I think, central to every strategic leadership question we need to ponder. The last one, which hovers, I guess, under the surface for a lot of leaders and is not always central to their reflection, and it ought to be, is this: how do I put meaning in my work? How do I make my work meaningful, more than just providing for myself and providing for my family? Though that is a very important place to start. How do we create legacy? How do we make a difference? How do we make a contribution? What gets me out of bed in the morning apart from I feel like I need to, I just need to put in the hours to bring home a paycheck? Blech. No one ought to live like that. Every one of us should be getting up going, wow, I have an opportunity to create and deliver something amazing. That's my unique contribution to the development. There's that word again. Development of humanity. So what is it for you? Come along if you have no idea and you're finding that that's an itch that needs to be scratched. You'll get some direction, some inspiration at the edge of leadership. And the reason I am advocating so much for this event is because we don't talk about this stuff front and center, particularly in the commercial business world. And there is a movement now with conscious capitalism and that kind of enterprise, and even the work of Richard Branson in his B Plan, which is all about business coming up with solutions for the planet. around a triple bottom line element. So how do businesses actually show up as responsible corporate citizens? And it's a bit more than corporate social responsibility. It's about being stewards for the planet in different areas. All this stuff is what we can be contributing to. So come and be part of the Game Changers at the event coming up. So three big tips to tackle these particular nagging concerns about getting your head above the parapet. And when you do get your head up for air, so you can look around and think strategically about what you're going to be doing for your work for the next 12 months, three important things to build into your strategy. The first one is connections, a strong network. This is not about how many people you have on LinkedIn or how many business cards you collect. Let's not be superficial. This is about meaningful relationships, and it's also about your identity and the connections. We need to start thinking of ourselves as connectors, so people who can introduce others, people who think about others and think about when you meet someone, who does this person need to meet? How can I be of service to them? How can I advance them? How can I help advance their cause? And when we show up as a connector, we build our relationships and we build our network. And the more that we do that for the others, the more others want to come and play at our party. So the big reflection questions: where can you create new connections? How can you contribute? Because connections create possibilities. Number one most important agenda for your strategy this coming year. The second one is cogitation. I just love that word. You know, some words just go, yeah, that's a cool word. Well, I think cogitation is a cool word. And essentially, it means smart thinking. We are not often taught how to think strategically in business in particular, and certainly not in some aspects of politics. We make our way to the top of the leadership pile by chance, by effort, not always by smart thinking. And if we don't have smart thinking, there's absolutely no way you're going to survive volatility over the next few years. So smart thinking is big picture thinking, systems thinking, how you map trends, how you respond now to future possibilities. And if you don't do this, you're behind the eight ball. You cannot do business as usual. You cannot do linear business planning. It needs to be a systems-based approach. You need to be thinking big picture about the forces that are happening around the globe and asking a couple of questions. What's happening in the world that will affect not only you, but your clients and your clients' clients? And I got this principle from Jehan Pereira, who is a futurist, and he talked about that's how you can start thinking strategically about the future in a useful way. Not just how is Uber and self-driving cars going to affect me, how will it affect my clients, and how will it affect the clients of my clients? That is smart thinking. And it also sets you up as a great connector and useful ally to your clients so that you can do meaningful work for yourself and for them. So this is the thing about cogitation. Cogitation creates options. Otherwise, you're just doing default, same old, just following the obvious, being a sheep, following the sheep. I say sheep following the pack, but I'm like, no, that's mixed analogies. All right, the third thing that you need to focus on is contribution. This is having a sound impact on the world and in your community. Whatever it is for you, it could be contribution to human-based issues such as homelessness or domestic violence or youth at risk, or it could be contribution to the environment. So how do you make a difference around dealing with climate change, around conservation, around animals? Well, that's a separate thing. So animals could be the third thing that you look after. As long as you're passionate about it, it makes meaning for you. You can build that in. You can weave that sense of impact into your business agenda. How you talk about your purpose, how you discuss that with clients, how you support community organizations, or maybe you become a social enterprise, in which case all of your business activity is supporting a particular issue. Doesn't matter. As long as you have something, something that lifts you up out of bed and that lights a fire in your belly. For me, it's all about helping young men become better men. This whole idea of redefining masculinity, I think, is central to equality in the genders in general and also to the future of humanity. We, in some ways, are letting our men fall behind. The conversation about what it means to be a man is quite hidden, and if it does get raised, the rocks start getting thrown. It's interesting. My article on LinkedIn recently called We've Got to Stop Man Bashing has attracted my biggest response yet. And it's true, so many men feel silenced. Now, in some ways, we had to silence men's voices to allow the other silent voices to be heard. Women's voices, minorities, gay, lesbian, and gender neutral, gender interesting kinds of voices. So that was totally inappropriate and not quite the right thing. I was trying to think of the acronym and it's just gone out of my brain. I do apologize. So those of us who have difference that is not white male, those have been important voices to be heard. So we need to make sure that the pendulum swings back and that we hear all voices, include the voice of the majority and those in positional influence, because a lot of them feel they don't have that anymore, that they're being muzzled. There's no place for them. What do you do when you're no longer the default power, I guess? What do you do when you become aware that you have been given a position of privilege by virtue of your birth, your color, and your gender? That's really difficult questions to take hold of, and I think we need to have a conversation around that. So that's part of my contribution. I think another aspect of that for me is, how do we help our service people come back from the war and redefine what does it mean to be a contributing citizen when you're not a soldier? And that is really a silent, lost voice. Where is the support for helping those people come to terms with a very different reality? So they've had a big journey from signing up to be part of the military, going and doing active duty, seeing and experiencing things they knew might happen, but possibly never realized how challenging it would be to see some of the horrors that they would face. And coming back to Australia, where it's been the same old since they left, how do they fit back into that? So those are two elements of what I'm passionate about doing, about helping people find a sense of purpose, contribution, and wholeness in who they are so that we can all move better and grow potentially together. Wow. So that was my summary. Lots of important strategy questions for you to be asking about relevance, about competition, about uniqueness, about how to get known in the marketplace and how to put meaning into your work. And it really comes down to three things: connections, meaningful connections, cogitation, that's smart thinking, learning how to think strategically from a very big picture point of view. And the third one is contribution. What gives you meaning and purpose, and how can you contribute to the evolution and development and betterment of humanity, the world, and the planet? Yee-haw. Well, I hope you have a great week, and please hop on to the show notes at zoerouth.com/podcast/8, the number 8. There we have all the links to the books that I mentioned, all the events that I mentioned. You can purchase Moments, my new book, yay, for $1 shipping, up until the 1st of December. Jump on there. You can sign up for the Edge of Leadership Conference. We want to see you there as part of that community of game changers. All right, that's it. Lead well, live well.